speak this evening about general matters of Tzius as described in the Sefer Halichos Bas Yisrael, chapter 7. But he goes here over here in an order of Tzius. He has Tefach B'Isha, Seah B'Isha, Kol B'Isha, exactly what we spoke about in that order. Then he has in Yanek, the use of Shonim. I'd like to speak this evening about general matters of Tzius as described in the Sefer Halichos Bas Yisrael, chapter 7. But he goes here over here in an order of Tzius. He has Tefach B'Isha, Seah B'Isha, Kol B'Isha, exactly what we spoke about in that order. Then he has in Yanek, the use of Shonim. Different matters of Tzius. About Begadish as being a function of Tzius, which is what many authorities maintain. It makes a flat statement that a woman is not permitted to wear pants. Boom. We discussed it last week a little bit, but not so simple. It's not considered Begadish, according to most. Tzius is an issue, it has a pipe, you can cover it with a coat. He prohibits women wearing pants even though no men are looking. But, I don't know if that's really true. But you can't wear anything red. Anybody go home and change? Something nowadays, it's okay. He speaks here about the tight clothes. Also, Rabbi Yonah and Zilber, I mentioned that I quoted them to you last week, I believe. Women shouldn't wear too much perfume. Quote to Medrash and Gemara on Shabbos, that the women in the time of the old Yerushalayim would release the perfume and it would attract the men, and this was what caused the churban. Success. And while a woman should look pretty in the presence of her husband, but she shouldn't look too pretty when she goes to the street. How much must put on? You look on your face, I'm not sure what that means exactly. Being overdone. About going to a doctor. So she's got a female doctor, possibly. But if the male doctor is better, you can go to the male doctor. Yes.
What if it's only out of like convenience? What if the male doctor is more convenient to go to?
It's okay. And he talks about nishuk v'chibuk or lechitas yad. Literally means kissing and hugging and shaking hands. The whole title, the whole subtitle. He writes as follows. A mother is permitted to kiss her son. How do you like that? A father may kiss his daughter. the Shofarot. Even if they're married, son of the daughter. So too can a grandmother kiss her grandson and a grandfather kiss his granddaughter. Also okay. Beyond that, everything is awesome. And therefore, you have to try very hard to make sure to avoid these things. It's more about the mitgashim mishpachtiim. You know how it is, with the families, with the cousins, with the uncles, with the aunts, with the this, with the that.
Brother.
He doesn't go into the brother thing over here. Brother. The Rambam says it shouldn't be done. Sib Zayin. It's based on the Rambam Yisroel Biya Per Kofala Halacha Vov. I'll read you this expression. Hamachabek achas min harayos shein libo shalada nokko aleyem o shedoshek liachas min kigon achoso agedolo vachos imo, a sister, an aunt afal fish ein shaktava v'lo hano aklal. There's no lust, there's no pleasure. Whereas in Maguna Biyosef exceptionally condemnable, the Dvar Oster and prohibited, will mice Pipshit, and the act of silly people. Shane Craven, the Arab Aklal, Ben Dola, Ben Kanan, Lutmeim, Lutmeno, Vahav Lubito. So this means it's not, it shouldn't be done. Shouldn't be done. But a woman should not protest so much if her brother wants to kiss her or shake her hand, if it's an issue of darkei shalom. I put shaking hands should be permissible for cloud, but all right, it's the bottom, it's okay, it's not okay. This might apply even beyond the brother sister case. Well, he puts the two together, but I don't think they should be put together at all. As a putting together, the shaking the hand, but permissible, period, to brother and sister. But the kissing, I think, is not proper, as the Rambam says, but you shouldn't make such a fuss about it. Someone wants to call it Rav Moshe. And he says to Rav Moshe, the Gaon of Lavrocha said to him, what should I do? I come to a family simcha or something, or to my father's house, or my mother's house, and my aunt goes over and wants to kiss me. What should I do? Rav Moshe said, don't do it. But I can't. What am I going to do? I can't. He kept saying, she says, try not to. If I can't help it, try not to. So finally, Rav Moshe said, Zaynish Kainah. I mean, don't be stupid. If you can't help it, you can't help it. If it's a sister, an aunt, things of this nature, that we call shave al tas, do nothing. Don't, we're going to slap her across the face. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Try your best to avoid it. They, Aunt Hilda, I have a very, very bad cold. You won't want to come near me. Yes.
Like a little brother.
Yeah. Right. That's much better. That's already a bigger problem. What about shaking hands? Man shaking a woman's hand. What's the story? So it's trying to get out of it. How? Your family meetings? Well, see cousins and all kinds of things. He said what you should try to do is hold things in your hands. The quotes. Hold things in your hands. Strictly speaking, it's probably permissible by strict halacha, but it should be avoided. Even if she's wearing gloves, as the Sefer Hasidus says. Now, let's get it straight. If it's negia, what we call medera chiba, in an affectionate fashion, according to the Rambam, it's a Torah prohibition. Those sikrabu legala serva. Very serious. If it's shalom b'derachiba, then it could be permissible. Different opinions if it's shalom b'der achiba. Simple pshat of Shulchan Aruch that it's mutter. Shalom b'der achiba. But it's an entire literature which he quotes here at the bottom and should send it for him there anyway. Rabbinically, the Drabbanah. Shereyesh b'mas hazeh mishum kiruv das. How much what that means? What kind of kiruv das? You don't want to embarrass the person. He quoted in the Chazon Ish. It said, it's shaking hands, like hugging and kissing. It's what someone quoted from the Chazon Ish. Yehorg v'al yavar. And even said it caused embarrassment to the woman who already put her hand out. You're not going to shake it. So it doesn't make a difference. You got to tell her if that's the reason why I shake, because it's prohibited. That's what the stifler says, quoted from the Chazon Ish probably. I remember seeing my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, once had this case where there was a woman came over to him after Shia and said to him, I remember, oh, Rabbi Soloveitchik, what a pleasure to meet you, as much about you. She goes, the whole Shia is all eyes. 100 eyes. What's going to happen? What is going to happen over here? They said, Rabbi Soloveitchik is sort of waiting for to get the hint that, you know, he's not really so excited about this, but he doesn't. So he finally gave what we call the dead fish. You know, like a, you know, like a, put an inhale act like this, and she sort of went, okay. Also, with the Gia Shalom with Derechiba, which apparently the Rav felt was permissible, strictly speaking. Rav Moshe also says, well, some have said it's permissible. It's not so, you shouldn't rely, it's not so easy to rely on. Why should you rely? I'll tell you why I shouldn't rely on. But there are people who take handshakes and they make it Derechiba. I can tell you a situation of a certain summer camp that will remain nameless. Not to mention the name of this camp, where they were very strict and wouldn't allow boys and girls to touch each other. But shaking their hands, they said, look, shaking their hands, that's what could be shaking their hands. All of a sudden, I found that shaking their hands on Shabbos, shaking hands, became a whole ritual. So the Chazal knew what they were saying, and one thing could lead to another. It's not so simple. The shaking their hands could become a whole ritual. It's complicated, not so simple. So for the average person, should stay away completely. And even if you're, you know, should try to avoid it. I guess there's a point at which you feel there's embarrassment. But in certain cases, it can be permissible. In a business setting, you know, so the person, if you won't shake the person's hand, you won't get a job. Right? If it's absolutely prohibited, or what, you can't help it, but it's not an absolute prohibition, then it may come to a certain further other things, you can skip sort of a, you do a dead fish, they probably lose your job then too if you give a dead fish. You have to be assertive. So, I don't know. What do you do? If you're a man, what are you gonna do? You can't give a dead fish, you'll lose your job. So what do you do? I don't know. You sort of try to be passive, you sort of go like this and the lady goes, put your hand down, I don't know, I just try to, the lady. So the man was telling you, you know what you do? Get him back. Oh. some karate lessons with some of that juice. Crunch them. Serves it right. Yeah. Look at France, you know what happens in France, they say hello by kissing us. That's yes.
So before that, the Shalom Bai is the Dr. Shalom and the Lashon Rava. It was permissible.
Not the Rava, that was the Lashon of the state.
Oh,
the Pasis Rava.
That
permissible for a brother and a
brother and a sister.
Right.
And even that might extend to other family relatives.
He said even maybe an aunt.
Even an aunt.
But that's it.
Right. No, so
that's it. Not your cousins. You can marry a cousin. That's a different story.
Let's say an aunt or an uncle or a cousin is very antagonistic. Meaning they know that you're friendly, they know that you Dafka don't want them to touch you and they do it anyway.
Oh, the hakas.
I would
lahakas them. If they do, because they think it's really not so bad, and they always thought they saw it in Europe that way, and that's the way it was always done. Then you should have Dr. Shalom. Dr. Shalom is someone who's trying to make a chachama. I don't know if you ask if you should go. I don't think it's wise. So it's lachas. A lot of judgment calls over here. A lot of judgment calls. Not so simple. Okay. Now, the next issue. Can a woman sit next to a man? Or vice versa? It's an example of a bus. Right? A man is sitting in a bus and a woman sits next to him. Quote from Shlomo Zalman, Zatzal, there's no minadin, there's no requirement for the man to stand up. The woman can sit next to him. Doesn't matter if he's inside, he's outside. Outside, inside, it's all about the. But the Shitzdios, Tznuos, they try to avoid it if it's not absolutely necessary. I got an email someone showed me that described the famous story about Rav Shlomo Zalman himself, that apparently he was once sitting on a bus and a lady sat down next to him. So he didn't want to sit next to him. He didn't want to hurt her feelings. So he got up, and he got off the next stop. He wasn't supposed to get off. He got off just not to hurt her feelings. Isn't that amazing? Got a lot of dog. Okay. We go on in the Lord of Steals. Rikudim. Okay. Women shouldn't dance, even though it's not themselves, when men are present. Discussed this last week a little bit. Oh, here it is, the Ben Ishchai. Remember I told you that story last week of the Ben Ishchai? He quotes it. Oh my. It really exists. I just heard about the story about that wedding. Afilu rikud nashim levadam b'tnei anashim asur. Ki yizgare yetzer arav anashim aroim. B'tzavku kama rabbanei achronim b'varim ke'ele v'she'en lem hetem b'shum simchas chosim v'kalem. How do you like that?
So that's
saying
you shouldn't, even at a wedding?
That's the Ben Ishchai said. We know it wasn't the Rambam, remember that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it's over here. According to this, Asul Lebanot, the Shatei, Pechuk, the Rikud, or the Rama, the Chadomer, Shafil Rakham and Again, and Himsah Shamu Geber. Wow. You know, the pianist is a man who shouldn't, I think he's going too far. I told you last week already. So even it's superfluous to even mention that there is a prohibition against men and women dancing together. Oh, that's even, you don't have to bother mentioning it at all. Can you stay at a wedding when there's mixed dancing? You won't dance, you stay at the wedding. Both the person will say it's okay. So once again, because of this issue of the men looking at the women, there are those who prefer having a mechitza by a wedding, because then the woman won't be seen. Hope they won't be sick. It's a matter of numbers, no? If there's no mechitzah, so it'll be seen by X number of men, and if there's mechitzah, it's made Y number of men. It's impossible to... It's the facts. Of course, women may not go mixed swimming. You're right. You have a female lifeguard. How old a boy can be brought to the beach where the women are? What's from Shlomo Zalman's atzal? Not above the age of, you're not going to believe this now. 3. For a girl, you can be make until 6. This is tough stuff over here. I don't know. I don't know.
I'll go to the housekeeper.
I don't know. So the question of Chazanish, if it's the child is old enough that when he grows up, we'll be able to remember what the girls look like without going in a bathing suit, then he shouldn't take them. Now, how old is that? He's like a child psychologist. To know the answer to that question.
Well, you said
no, 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 no. If you have a 4-year-old son, you take him to the beach, you're going to remember when he's 14 what the girls look like, 14-year-old girls look like when he was 4. I don't know. You're a child psychologist. Yes.
Back to the mechitza and the dancing.
Right.
So what constitutes then a sufficient mechitza? And if there's going to be, if we're saying that there are men going to be on either side anyway, they'll be around anyway, so
well,
maybe it's the men.
I'm telling you, I've been at many weddings, and even if they have a very good mechitza, there's always that stray individual who was on the other side. I'm talking about the Sapa place. They all have Marsha, but they have people that way.
And still serves a purpose. It still pays to have it. It's still.
I think it pays to have it. It's not going to cause a ruckus.
And how tall should it be? What should it be like? Can you use those trees that are, interspersed? I mean, because then these could still see through. And what
should
be a brick wall?
It shouldn't be looking. It all depends on Shalom Bayis considerations and other considerations. A lot of considerations. Yes.
You had mentioned that the study tried that
women can't dance in the presence of men.
Right. And then you said, but we follow the Rambam.
No. You were last week?
Yeah, but...
I mentioned the story of Rabban Soloveitchik with the Rambam. I was making a reference to that story. I'm not saying we follow the Rambam. I didn't say anybody. There was no Rambam. I'm just pointing out that...
I'm not
arguing with the Ben Ishtar. Okay. Incidentally, in terms of sneezing, it's a purely incidental halacha. May a woman have a plastic surgery to make herself pretty for a shidduch? Not so simple. Proverbial nose job, I don't know. There are different opinions in this matter. Why? Because she shouldn't undergo surgery for insufficient cause. There are those who prohibit piercing the ears. But, I don't know, that seems to have been swept away, that kind of opinion.
What did he say about that?
There are 2 opinions. That will give you a definitive answer. All right, can we go on? Yes?
The train. If you're on a train, it's busy.
The Rav Moshe is a famous tune about train that are packed like sardines. Rav Moshe is smooth to go on the train. I have a Gia Shalom and Derechiba. So Rav Moshe does the Gia Shalom and Derechiba's mother. That's why I don't understand what the people about shaking their hands.
You're on a bus, like, and don't do the
thing like a manager. No, I'm talking about the subway, like,
I get busted.
They run it. Somebody that crashes, I mean. Every man goes in the subway, they'll be bumping to a woman, and vice versa. They can't help that.
If you're on a bus, like, should we stand up or should we take the seat?
I would say better off sitting. Stand up, they crush you. Sit down.
You know, there's one seat left.
Man, I think it's worth it. Speak your idea. On any more questions about spheres? Speak now. Yes. And it's mutter. The fact that they just have to be careful, they should try to avoid, you know, having the men look at the woman while they're dancing, but they can't. I know. So honestly, try to do the best you can. Yes.
So
when
that
was
Adam's
defense, the breath, it's okay. I think it's okay. The men shouldn't look. Tell the men that I said they shouldn't look. Well, yes. Yes. You can tell the teacher I said no. I'll give you an F. We'll discuss it later what to do about it. You whistle for it. All righty. Are we finished with this topic? I think we discussed quite extensively. Yes. I don't think so. It's hard to consider kissing Shalom and Derechiva. I mean, unless it's an extremely emergent situation, I wouldn't make that judgment.
So the person
you
saw just wanted to come over and you know that they were going to
sit in your house. Duck! I'm sorry, put up your hand. I'm sorry. I don't know how to hold it. I've aged. Yeah.
You're allowed to dance because you're relying on the man not
that
you're looking?
You put a machine through on the man after they just go around the machitza and look anywhere.
So why do we need a machitza?
Do the best you can. The machitza is better because it cuts down on the man who looks.
But there's no issue of your own personal sphere, so you shouldn't be dancing?
Maybe you should dance a while. You know, what's so wrong with that? If you dance yeshiva shuffle, that's no big deal. Right? No, it's like walking. Like walking. Yeah.
Acting in front of men, like doing a play.
Yeah, he prohibited that play. He called it drama. What's wrong with that? I mean, it depends on the society. We discussed the very first week. Depends on the society in which you live. In some societies, men are never supposed to be looking at women, even in settings which are not musical dancing, just even acting, even speaking. But I would say most of the society to which you belong, men are listening to women speak all the time.
Putting on a play,
which is a kosher theme, and it's not the book. In our circle, in other circles, it'd be awesome. Depends. Yes.
What about a bridesmaid's
walk? Here we go. I can tell you, I've been involved in many disputes about this topic. I thought, again, depends on the circles in which you belong. If you want to be strict, the kala shouldn't watch that either. The people looking at it. You know, I look at the kala. So she bring in a helicopter and I'm just landing.
Well,
should
be respectful.
So you can't be absolutely prohibit the bridesmaid business. But on the other hand, if a woman does not want to march down, I can sympathize with her very much. I've had a case where I recently had a case. They wanted a certain married woman to march down. She refused. It was a tremendous battle whether she had to give in at the end.
What about with her husband?
With her husband. She still refused. She said, I'm not on show. I don't want to march down. I march on my own wedding. That's enough. Again, that she wants. She wants. She doesn't want. She doesn't want. I don't think it's very subjective. I don't think it's an absolute prohibition at all. Next Monday, I'm in the Sinai condition. They said the Chassid Kalachan, there isn't any. So I asked, how many people are marching down? We're only having 11 different tunes. They came by yesterday, the band they refused. So they'll make us look like idiots. They're not going to have the four tunes. So they'll keep letting go for three, four at a time to the same tune. And they have a whole, you know, procession. The truth is, the whole procession for the Goyish is on. Ever been in a real wedding in Israel? That's how it was in Europe. Put the theorists, everyone is crowding around. And then the husband comes down, and the collar comes down, and that's picked at the end. And then everyone comes, they come down behind them. That's the way it was done all the centuries. It's a Goyish is on. This whole aisle with the city, it's really, let's be honest. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it, but let's be candid where it comes from. What? I don't want to go that far, but you should know where it comes from. Okay, are we finished? I'm not sure we're finished. It's a very important topic. Next is a cousin topic called Yichud. Yichud. We can't discuss all the laws of Yichud. It's so complicated. The next chapter here is called Parakas. I want to mention it now. What does Yichud mean? Lastly, Yichud is a man and a woman who are alone in a room which is locked. Or if it's closed in the way that no one's going to go in. Or if they're in a faraway field, a forest, night, but no one's around. That's called Yichud. Many say Yichud is a Torah prohibition. Yichud begins at Bar and Bas Mitzvah. In the sense that there's a boy under Bar Mitzvah and a girl under Bas Mitzvah, there's no Yichud. If there's a man over Bar Mitzvah and a girl under Bas Mitzvah, then there is a Yichud, or vice versa. And even applies to babysitting. A girl over 12 should not watch babysit for a boy over 9. What is Yichud? Nor should a babysitter male over the age of 13 have yichud with a young girl even above the age of 3. Yes.
We've got nieces and nephews.
So let's talk about yichud with members of the family. Give you a quick list over here. We discussed it before. A husband with a wife is obviously mutter. A father with his daughter is mutter. Grandfather, granddaughter is mutter. But not the son-in-law and mother-in-law. A sister and brother, yichud is mutter, but only on what we call a temporary basis. A month or less. A month or less. The brother and sister live in the same apartment. But beyond the month, it's already Chazal prohibited. Now, according to this, what it says to Shulchan Aruch, a woman should have yichud with her uncle, cousin, brother-in-law, father-in-law. And here's the knockout. Adopted child. Or stepchild. Above the age of 9. It's a big problem. If it's a man, it's going to be a problem above the age of 3. A big problem. Big problem. Mm-hmm. Since Eliezer has certain kind of heterim for yichud for adopted children, and he says, you know, it's really probably malamet zchus. Lubavitcher Rebbe furiously against it. What about yichud with the adopted children? About chibuk benishik, hugging and kissing? He said it's also prohibited if it's an adopted child. I don't understand how people are so lenient about it. So you're right, Lubavitcher Rebbe. If a woman is married, there is a dispensation for yichud known as Baal HaBo'ir. Her husband is in town.
Parents are that way, you know. This is just the way they are.
unless they're absolute dead sleepers, you know, nothing ever disturbs them, the chance that it would warp right in. We've been discussing until now only one-on-one. What about two-on-one, one-on-two? What's the story of each in these kinds of cases? So there's a distinction drawn in the Gemara between two men and one woman and the other way around. Two men and one woman, in some cases, is permissible. That will be called fruits unless they are very, very loose kind of men. Whereas one man and two women is more strict. Society of the Chazal, and I'll tell you of Chazal, it was unfortunately found that a man could be promiscuous with two women in the same house. I was told it was a TV program about it recently. It was called Three Is Something. Three. Am I right? Long time ago. When it came out, I said, oh, you see how Chazal writes? I didn't need a TV program. It happened in my building when I was in Washington. I lived in Washington Heights. Yeah. There was a man living there with two girlfriends. Crazy. So, Chazal were more afraid in that direction. But this prohibition only exists if we're afraid of this crazy thing of two girlfriends. It's crazy. But what if one of the women who is there is someone who we're not suspect of doing anything wrong with this man? Let's say a relative. Sister, daughter, mother, grandmother of the man is there with some other woman? They have the category of a showman. Sure. If one of the women is related to the man, so we're not fearful that they're going to do anything wrong because they're related and they wouldn't do the thing we don't hope. Mars is in the sense of Sanhedrin. The Yetzer for incestuous relationships was killed thousands of years ago. The Goyim are trying to bring it back now, but still it's in general society was killed. And therefore they protect the other woman and man from doing anything wrong.
For sure, the wife is there.
Why? Sure. I would sure hope so. So too.
Did an aunt or a cousin?
Aunt or a cousin, I'm not sure. Aunt? Could be, it's also okay. Could be. So too, a girl between the age of 5 and 9. Status of a shomeris, or a boy between 9 and 13. Because the Gemara puts it in its own inimitable way. These, at this age, they're old enough to know what's going on, but not old enough to have a desire to get involved in the action. And that's not exactly the words of the Gemara, but that's what they're driving at. We mentioned before this had their vala of a year. If a husband's in the city, so then it's okay. How big is the city? City? New York City is a big city. Look, Rav Shlomo Zalman, that's how it's quoted, that if a man walks into a house and the woman is there, she should tell the man, by the way, now my husband is down the block, or she said that he should understand that her husband's in town. Unless he understands on his own, he knows how to his husband is, he works around. The other way around, it's not so simple. We mentioned before that two men and a woman is not so bad if they're not prudent. Some say that at night it's not allowed. Unless there are three men who are shaved. Or two men and three women would be okay. what is strictly speaking permissible, but you shouldn't do it. One of those is, the Jew said to you, would you allow your daughter to be in a room with us at night with two men and three women, and as you say, in the apartment of the night? I mean, strictly speaking, it's like you're crazy. How much permissible you shouldn't always do? Not all night, it's in the daytime, or in the same. Just now, I had a shower last week. yeshivas was giving an example of what is strictly speaking permissible, but you shouldn't do it. One of them is this, that you would say to you, would you allow your daughter to be in a room with us at night with two men and three women and then to stay in an apartment at night? I mean, strictly speaking, it's fucking crazy. How much permissible you shouldn't always do. Not all night, it's just the daytime, or it's the same. Just now I had the shower last week, I got a call from someone, was an apartment, was there four young ladies share an apartment, and this one, another has a boyfriend, and he comes at midnight, and he gets off from work. And she asked me, well, what's the story? I said, I'm not 100% sure, but it's certainly inappropriate. Don't let him in. She wants to talk to this boyfriend, but let her go out somewhere he should be in the apartment. Midnight, he walks in at midnight. What about in a car? If the car has windows, not tinted windows, but clear windows, see through them and people are around, no problem.
Car stationary or
doesn't matter. If you're in an isolated, secluded area, it's prohibited. How do you define that? It's a little bit complicated. In the city, all the highways in New York never sleeps. I've been on highways at 4 in the morning, you name it, there are always cars on the highways. There's no yichud in any highway in New York City, ever. Boom.
But in the highway,
no one's going to
stop.
Neither will you. No one's going to stop. All right. But the problem is the side streets, some of these suburban areas, you know, after 10 o'clock at night or after 12 o'clock, it's a big problem. Dates, if you problem on dates, what do you do? How do you handle it? Then you're in Stern College, at the government. 34th Street never sleeps. Any hour of the day or night is no problem when you go to 34th Street. That's why you made Stern College, no question. That's because they made it you made sure to put on a street with no shadow of you.
Problems
in the country.
Even out in the city,
but,
you know, one or two cars
in the problem. Well, the car comes once in a while. I talked to the phone what a while is. It was once a question, I remember, it's a summer camp, I remember, it was a question of traveling from the nearest little city, town, to the camp, and it was a question of whether it's yichud on the highway or not. Could be not, because cars do go there from time to time. I'm not talking about 3 in the morning, I'm talking about even, you know, let's say 10 o'clock at night. Cars do come from time to time. It's secluded. Yes?
With this whole thing, you know, like one man, two women, would that be different if there was no, like, takana against bigamy? So that if a man has a wife, then it really could...
I don't know. It's hard to play with these halakhos. They're based on very deep-seated things. Better not to get around trying to change. By the way, yes?
Just if you're walking, and it's
light,
you're
like, depends, yeah. You could be easy than walking also. There's no one else around at all. Yeah, sure. Yes?
You know, at night in the car, there's other
person
by, but it's dark
out. Yeah, lights shine right into you. No problem. Same with walking. If lights shine on you, solve the problem. You know, there's a certain camp which I walk to, again, will remain nameless. There's a road which people are, it's pretty deserted, so I make sure in front of the bright lights, so there should not be a vehicle.
So you
can light
like, no chance of anyone coming out,
still. Doesn't matter, I don't know if I see you.
Right.
Come out.
Right, you can right.
No, you're coming. Yes?
With the dispensation of Baal Ha'ir, sorry to go back.
Yeah.
So that means that there could be yichud one-on-one in a closed
room? That's
correct,
strictly speaking.
Nicole.
Absolutely. With a Jewish man. You haven't got to blame you. Everything's all the Jews so far. All right. to a guy, bad, bad, bad. Goyim are known to be prutzim. No, really. You can't even have yichud with a goy, even if his wife is right there. No problem. With a goyim, they have no qualms.
If his wife is in
That's the correct. That's correct.
Whoa.
Whoa. Finish it up.
Well, I don't believe it. What if the wife's doing
it?
Is that exact?
No. Most authorities say if you if they have their bala over here, it's not apply to a Goyish man. It's only to a Jewish man. Of a woman with a bala over here. Be very careful with this. Very serious. I'll give you an example. Talks about elevators. We assume there's no issue of yichud when it comes to elevators. For an obvious reason. The elevator keeps opening up. They open up because there's any second it can open. But you have to be careful because sometimes there are problems. There's a terrible, terrible story many years ago when a very terrible thing happened. There was a woman who was in an elevator with a man. What they pieced together the story afterwards. It was a goyish man and he started up with her and she ended up, she didn't make it alive. That's right, she died and whatever, sort of struggle, whatever happened. In elevators in Brooklyn. She was a niece of one of the greatest rabbis in Brooklyn. The whole famous story goes back, I would say, 10, 15 years, a long time ago. Terrible tragedy. That was an extreme case. True, but still, have to be careful. Just walk out, you have to be careful, you have to assess the circumstances of each and every case. Elevators, most strictly speaking. But you know, it all depends on the circumstances. You may have said, I'm getting out of here. If you're in doubt, get out. Yes?
Yichud is taking care of whatever because there are people around.
Right.
So let's say, these circumstances are okay, but you're in a town where you don't know the people, you don't care about these people,
doesn't
but
matter.
They're around.
Look, look. Yes.
What do you do if they're home alone and you can't have a parent?
Yeah, that's a problem. There are unfortunately too many stories about repairmen also.
What if there's two men?
So you have to use your judgment. One, if there's two, what they like, and the fruits are not, you have to be very careful.
Can you just leave the door
can't
open?
Be too, you leave the door open, if that helps.
That avoids?
You have to be very careful. It's not so simple. It's not simple, it's so simple. Yes?
Well, what if you lock yourself in your room, you're there.
If you lock yourself in your room, you're fine. Not a problem.
That's
what I mean.
No, your house might be
Robbing blind.
You know, if it's one on one and the door is closed and unlocked, you know, it's not so good unless it's closed because they just walk in. But if no people normally don't just walk in, but other family members
have the key.
Have the key or whatever.
It's also okay. If you're in the house and you have three brothers and two sisters and two parents and they all have the key, and they all walk in at all kinds of crazy hours and it's always your vehicle. Any moment they'll have to walk in. Yes.
What's the Easter
that
I saw?
What's the pasuk mean? Based on the pasuk in the parasha of Meisu Meliach. Tisko Chicho Ben Yimecho. It's a little complicated with the derivation. Not everyone agrees. Some say it's only the Rabbonim. Is Yichud Yaron Val Yavo? That's the famous case of the Skilip. Right, story? World famous story. There was a girl who was in a boy and the Skilip broke. And she was with this guy, and it started getting dark. She jumped off the ski lift. It was dark, no one saw it. She jumped off the ski lift. She broke a leg or something like that. And she sued the ski lift. And you're crazy, what'd you jump for? So my religious scruples said I had to jump. Because even though my life was in danger, I was like, yeah, for you. No, I went up in New York Times. Was she right or wrong? Probably
should have been skiing in the first place. I said you shouldn't have been skiing in the first place.
Oh, I wasn't skiing in the summertime. I was
Was she on the list?
Yeah. Why
Right.
So why should she have to jump?
Right, I don't think she has to jump. Yes.
Let's say there's an issue, let's say there's the guy is a female and there's like an issue, let's say she worked for the household, so like there would never, like, is there any, like, again, if you're working for them, that there's like a fear, like if you're working for Jews, that there's like a fear?
There are too many stories about that also. You name it, there are stories about it. You name it, believe it or not.
You have to be very careful.
Yosef, that's right, Yosef. He's working also. You have to be careful.
Applies to both women and men.
Every situation requires, you know, I always say when it comes to Yichud, you need common sense above and beyond the Shulchan Aruch. Sure, there are cases, you know, they often have cases in the office. You go to the office, and then you end up alone with the boss. Right? The boss is there, and then everyone else leaves, and says, you're staying late to work. I wouldn't do it. I would leave. You'll say, but it's Mutta, he has the key, and she has the key, and he has the key, and she has the key. The Rabbanu keeps saying, but we heard too many stories. It's a serious problem. There are many women who go into training, like maybe social work training, or psychology. You have to speak to these people privately. You have to lock the door. It's a big problem. You try to get out of it various ways. And, you know, every case requires a child. It's not simple. Yes?
What about an elevator that goes express, so it's very extended period of time?
Yeah, but how long can it go? It's a web part of stage building. How long does it take to get to the 86th floor? Right, well, how long does it go?
The 74
or 84?
Yeah. A minute. Oh,
more than a minute?
That's a long time.
Next time, fine.
What's the time limit? Is there a time limit?
Time to get back. All right, we really only scratch the surface of the yichud. Very, it's been a month, but we're just getting the general clothing. All right. Now the final chapter we're going to learn from this sefer, this beautiful sefer, Lichud Basis Roel. We spent a lot of time on it. If you want to review for the Bechina, you can use it. It's very good. The last thing I want to talk about in this book is Perek Yud Aleph, which is Bas Mitzvah. And for those who have the English edition and want to review for the test, you probably can do, we only need the first, I think there are two volumes. You probably only need the first because there are 25 chapters and we never got to number 11. Okay, let me know. So what's this Bas Mitzvah business? What's going on with the Bas Mitzvah? Tells you that when a woman turns 12 years old, she becomes Bas Mitzvah. Why before the man? He's 13? Different answer given. Women are more intelligent. They mature more quickly. Physiological differences are earlier, whatever maybe. So he goes with all the chumras here, typical. Quote from Rav Moshe said, if a girl turns bas mitzvah, she makes a suda, it's not a suda mitzvah. In the footnotes, he quotes from Rabbi Avadi Yosef, Bechavadas, who said that making a Sudas Bar Mitzvah, Bas Mitzvah, is Minig Tov and Noch Vahoglan, he understates. He purposely understates what he said, because, you know, it's have to be true. And Bechavadas, he writes, there's no difference between Bar Mitzvah and Bas Mitzvah. It's all exactly the same thing. And the reasoning is very clear. But what's the basis for bar mitzvah? Why do they make shavik suda when a boy turns bar mitzvah? What's the big deal? Why?
Right.
So the Marshal says, based upon the famous Gemara, which says, Godla mitzvah v'yose, v'yishe ena mitzvah v'yose. It was a man who was blind named Rabbi Yosef. So he heard that a man is the blind man is chayav, he made a party. Because now he's mitzvah v'yose, he's on a higher level. It's greatest chayav. So the Marshal says, if the blind man Rabbi Yosef made a party, upon hearing that he was chayav, how much more so was the party made when you actually become chayav? Which is at age 12 or 13. There's no difference. No difference. And Rav Moshe writes, about this is a glorified birthday party, nothing else. Somebody asked him, Akasha, what do you mean, Rabbi? How can you say that? But God of the Vinosa. Rav Moshe wrote back, well, when it comes to a man, you can tell his bar mitzvah. How do you tell? He puts on tefillin, though he counts for a minion. The woman, you can't tell. You can't tell, so there's no need for a suit. So Rav Moshe writes back, what's this? Why should that be so? You might argue the reverse. More reason to make a suit. So, these are the two main opinions that I quoted. Absolute extremes. One is the Bas Mish is exactly the same as Bar Mitzvah. It's a Bavadi's opinion. And then Rav Moshe Tzal writes in his sefer, no, that the Bas Mish is nothing. It's just a birthday party. So who's right? So I'd like to, if I may, suggest to you a compromise position. We have to take a step back. When a young man turns by mitzvah, the father makes a bracha called Baruch Shefarani. Have you heard it?
Mm-hmm.
Baruch Shefarani Me'osho Shozeh. What does Baruch Shefarani mean? Here's a big dispute what the words mean. According to the Mogen Avraham, it means that until now, the father was punished for his son's misdeeds. His son's little. He punished himself, not a bar onshin. Now, if the son makes a mistake, the son is punished, not the father. The father goes, Baruch Shefarani Me'osho Shozeh. Thank God. No longer will I be punished for my son's mistakes. That's how the Mogen Avraham explains. The Levush, who preceded him, whom he quotes, Talmud of the Ramah, right, the other way around, Baruch Shefarani Me'osho Shozeh means that until now, my son could be punished for my sins. Although the Rambam quotes in the Medrash in Rus, it says, Lo yumsu avos al bonen, u bonen lo yumsu al avos, ish v'cheta yumasu. A person will be killed only for his own sins. So the Rambam quotes, as ish v'cheta yumasu. A man will only be killed for his own sins, not for his father's sins. Before 13, not a man yet, not an ish yet. And therefore, before 13, the son Khalil could be punished, could be killed for his father's sins. There was the Levush Baruch Shefarani, Baruch Shefarani, Baruch Hashem. From now on, I don't have to worry that my son will die or will be punished because of me. And then the Levush again, it's worse to have someone be punished because of you than for you to be punished because of somebody else. How do you feel that someone else will be punished because of you? It'll be terrible. That's Baruch Shem trying to call to the Levush. You got it? Two pshatim? Opposite from each other. Yes?
Mother.
Oh. So the Prima Gadim, this is all in Siman Reish Chaf Hei, in our time. He asks the court of both interpretations, he doesn't understand. Why shouldn't the obligation exist for a mother, for a daughter? Why only father and son? All these points apply not only to a father and son, but also to a father and daughter, to a mother and daughter, to a mother and son. Right? Shouldn't the mother say, Baruch Shem Tarani, that from now on I will no longer be punished for the sins of my son or daughter? We assume that the mother is obligated to take care of the child when the child is young. So the people got an answer, well, what if the daughter's married already? Before 12. If he's married before 12, then it's the husband's obligation, not the father of the mother. That's why. So he writes. It doesn't apply for a daughter. So, since most girls are married before 12, as we know. So therefore, there's no
problem.
Oh, that takes care of one way. That takes care of the what?
Of the daughter.
What about the mother? Hold on, that takes care of the daughter according to which pshat? According to the pshat of the...
Mogen
Avram. According to the Levush, I think it's still stuck. Right? Because...
Still being punished
when she's married? Maybe, why not? Not an issue. She's married. She's a married girl, not a married woman.
Does that
mean that
the husband
sinned too? I hope not. Then the Prima Gadim as well, it says, Ish Bechetel Yimasu, but not Isha. So therefore, that takes care of that again. That's what it takes care of the mother. Only Ish, not Isha. Also very difficult. Ish is just a generic term. It means man, means woman too. It doesn't have... If anything, Ish Pechetah refers to the child, not to the mother. So the whole Prima Gadim is very difficult. All of his answers leave you somehow unsatisfied. So why is the Bracha limited to a father and son, and why does it not apply to a mother nor to a daughter? That's the question. Prima Gadim asks the question and his answer though, leave you unhappy. Seems to me again, I'm assuming there exists an obligation to train your daughter, she spoke about. The Rama, by the way, is in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Vav, Halacha Aleph. So without belaboring this point anymore, let me go right to the heart of the matter. In my opinion, Baruch Shem Tarani could be interpreted a third way. Not like the Mogen Avraham, and not like the Levush. Not that the father says, I'm grateful that I will no longer be punished for my sins, my son's sins, nor the other way around, that my son will be punished because of my sins. So either of those shatim are right, I think it should apply to mother and daughter as well. But rather, I think we have to go back to an earlier source, which is the Rambam. The Rambam writes at the very beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah, quote, Anoshim, Avodim, Uktanim, Peturim, Bitama Torah. Avol Koton, Oviv, Chayavul, Am, the Torah, Shenemar, Ulimadatim, Ultim, Espanation. The impression Yonah conveys is that the obligation to teach his son Torah applies only to his son before Bar Mitzvah. Once it's Bar Mitzvah, it's no longer an obligation. Why? Beyond that, why does the Rambam start from left field? He's starting now his famous Silas Talmud Torah. He starts on the left foot. Women and minors are exempt. He started the exception. If you had an English composition that way, they might take a point off. He started the rule, then he mentioned the exception. So I believe that these two questions answer each other. The Rambam is of the opinion that it's impossible to conceive of an obligation for A to teach B Torah if B has his own obligation. If B is obligated by himself, so we mean A has to teach B. B is obligated himself, right? So therefore, the Rambam had to give a preface that women and avodim and ketanim, that's why I mentioned ketanim, are exempt. So since they're exempt, we can then conceive of the next sentence, which is that a man is required to teach his son within the amount of the most explanation. And for that very reason, once the son turns bar mitzvah and is obligated himself to study the Torah, then the father's obligation terminates.
So, according to the
benefit
between the
father
and the daughter.
Hold on. P.S. This doesn't mean that once he's 13, the father is letting him run wild. As Chazon Ish pointed out in another context, the father has to study a trade, he thinks his son should be a mensch. He's not going to study any Torah, he's not going to be a mensch either. But the strict halachic obligation of the Imad to Moses Benechem, which refers to Tanakh, terminates at 13. Now, having said all this, let's go back to the Baruch Shem Karani issue. Who knows, maybe someone who knows, where is the source of Baruch Shem Karani? It's not found anywhere in the Gemara. It's not found in the Mishnah, it's not found in the Gemara. Do you know where it's found? It's found in the Medrash. That's why we, most of us, don't say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shem Karani. Just Baruch Shem Karani, because according to the Ramah, we shouldn't say Hashem's name, because it's not found anywhere except for a Medrash. Medrash is usually just sort of like Godot. Can't really pass the base on Medrash. What's the context? Where's the pasuk? In Sefer in Parshas Toldos, it says, "Vayigdalu anorim, vayi Esav ish yodei atzayet ish sadeh, Yaakov ish tam yoshei v'holim." Says the Medrash. 13 years. They both go to school, come back from school. After 13 years, one goes to Beis Medrash, and one goes to church, or to hunt, to kill. That's what happened to Yaakov and Esau. Brother of the Tzuvah Yos, and I think it's a Tzuvah Mitzvah. So therefore, I'm in between. Not like a Moshe says it's a birthday party. Not like a Mabatz is exactly the same as a Bar Mitzvah, but in between. Because the Bar Mitzvah, we said, has two different dimensions, and the Bar Mitzvah has one of them. I'm going to make myself clear. Okay, we'll stop. And Mishnah next week. Next time is only 5:20. If you want to take the beginning next week, 5:30. That's the message.